morning, Artisan. It's good to be together this morning, even if together looks a little different than several weeks ago, now spread across living rooms and common areas or wherever you could access a computer to participate in this morning's liturgy. Since today's Palm Sunday, I'm filming this in the greenest corner of my apartment, so you can imagine that this ficus here is a palm, and at some point in this gathering, imagine a child bursting into the room waving one of its branches. Don't worry though, I haven't arranged that, so you can just settle in. If you're new to Palm Sunday, well, today is simply the last Sunday in Lent and the first day of Holy Week. Holy Week, the week being the week that leads us to Easter. Easter, which is just around the corner. This morning we read in Matthew 21, one of today's lectionary readings, that as Jesus entered Jerusalem, a crowd of people cut branches and spread them on the road, while others shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David." As a church, today, on Palm Sunday, we join this crowd in Matthew and figuratively line the road that leads Jesus to the cross, where the gospel story will come to a surprising finish. If you're familiar with church, well, the journey of Holy Week might be one that you're a little desensitized to. You know, you've read these stories before, you go on this journey every year, you know how it finishes, resurrection ending and all. And yet, I think when we put these stories in conversation with our lives, they sink in new ways, revealing more of who God is, and maybe widening our imaginations about where God is, maybe helping us uncover our sight for his current presence in our lives. Yes, even in the humdrum, mundane, or painful parts of today's circumstances. If you're a healthcare worker or a grocery store clerk or any other essential service, your days are probably a little less humdrum than usual right now. But if you've lost work or if you're working from home, the monotony of your isolation might be getting to you. Either way, I like what Lauren Winter says in her book, Wearing God, when she writes that we can discover things about God by looking around our ordinary everyday life. An ordinary Tuesday, what you wear, what you eat, and how you experience the weather has something to offer you about God. There is a method here, and it is Jesus' method. Jesus, after all, specialized in asking people to steep themselves in the words of Scripture, and then to look around their ordinary Tuesdays to see what they could see about life with God. Well, there are a lot of ordinary Tuesdays happening in our days right now, and personally, I'm curious how they might be revealing the life of God in ways we often overlook or forget to see. Right before Jesus enters Jerusalem in Matthew 21, Matthew tells a story of Jesus giving two blind men their sight. As I was preparing my own heart and mind for Holy Week, I felt quite drawn to these blind men. A part that isn't usually read on Palm Sundays, a part of the passage that's not in today's lectionary reading. But to me, it's a part of the story that feels essential, especially right now. So I'm flipping to page 690 of our chair Bibles, which is probably not very helpful for you. So if you want to take a second and pause this to grab a Bible, if you have one accessible and want to follow along, I'm starting in Matthew 20, verses 29 to 34. So Matthew 20, 29. As Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." Jesus stopped, and he called them. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. "Lord," they answered, "we want our sight." Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, we want our sight. The Greek here is more or less, Lord, that might be opened the eyes of us, that you might open our eyes. In Mark's version of the same story, which occurs at the exact same place in the gospel narrative, it's just one blind man who cries out to Jesus, saying, Rabbi, I want to see. I want to see. The Greek there is more or less, Lord, that I might recover or receive my sight. Either way, it's a longing for eyes opened, for recovery of sight, and beneath that, I think, a longing to be well. In both versions of the story, Jesus heals this blindness, and these once blind men follow him immediately. I don't know, maybe they barely had time to adjust to this new sense, maybe everything's still a little blurry, a little sunblind, I'm not quite sure what it's like to recover from blindness. But both Matthew and Mark make it seem like these newly seeing men follow Christ into Jerusalem, into the lectionary passage that we read earlier. And in this following, I think they participate in the crowd that welcomes Jesus into Jerusalem, maybe waving their own branches and saying with others around them, Hosanna, Son of David. And I imagine that this act of worship for them took on new meaning given their very newly healed vision, their recently restored sight. I think these blind men can show us something about journeying into Holy Week with all its expectations and unknowns. I think they can show us a posture of trust and deep inner longing amidst the journey, the longing to see and to see well. So I wonder if Matthew's inviting us to see how we might follow Jesus into this coming week with open expectation, longing to be made new. And maybe in doing so, Matthew shows us how to follow Christ into the unknowns of life. If I'm perfectly honest, I think that I'm drawn to this part of Matthew's text right now because I am having trouble seeing the goodness of life. My vision feels just off. My daily irritability from life's changes or my own fear of scarcity due to job changes and income loss. Or my mundane domestic frustrations, these are kind of the things that are dominating and clouding my vision right now. And so with these blind men, I'm saying, Jesus, I want to see. But what I'm really saying is, Jesus, I want to see you in the struggle of this time. But as these blind men show me, recovery of vision does not mean knowing what's next. Simply means knowing that Christ is the one who makes sense to follow into the unknown immediately. So my question for us today is this. What is it you're having trouble seeing right now? In your own life? In your faith? What are you longing to see? Or where are you longing to see God? And in that, where might God be inviting you to see his presence? To see his kingdom unfold in new and surprising ways. I've been finding a lot of solace in the fact that our world's current struggle parallels two seasons that will unfold regardless of me and regardless of my ability to see. I'm talking about Lent and spring. I don't know how you practice Lent, the season of the church calendar that we're in. Typically, people practice giving things up for Lent, and this year I guess you were kind of forced into that one. But alongside this practice is a direction. The church is heading towards Easter, preparing itself to receive Christ anew. And this direction is deeply entangled with the unfolding of spring. I don't know if you know this, but the word Lent comes from the Old English word for spring. 1,000 years ago, this season, spring, was just called Lenten in Old English-speaking countries. Lenten became Lenten, which became Lent, but Lenten originally, it just meant lengthening. The lengthening of days, the lengthening of light, the lengthening of that by which we see. An Anglican bishop named Rowan Williams points out that because of this connection, Lent isn't just about giving things up. That practice is a means, never meant to be the end or the point. Lent is actually about making room for spring, making room to see the buds and blooms of new life in our lives and in our world. Rowan Williams writes about this connection quite beautifully, saying that Lent is a preparing for that great climax of springtime, which is Easter, new life bursting through death. And as we prepare ourselves for Easter during these days, what motivates us and what fills the horizon is not self-denial as an end in itself, but rather an attempt to sweep clean the room of our minds and hearts so that the new life really may have room to come in and take over and transform us at Easter. Therefore, this time is not without meaning. The difficulty and weirdness of this season is ripe with potential. You might feel unable to see God in it, but in this temporary blindness, you might be making room to see Him in ways that could eventually grow brighter, more Easter new, to borrow a phrase from Walter Brueggemann. I think spring is a great time to pray for sight. As I've leaned into the prayers of these blind men this week, pleading with them to see, I have actually noticed signs of nature's new life unfolding all around us. And these signs of spring cause me to slow down and to think about the way that the kingdom might too be blooming around me in ways I often overlook. From this looking, I can honestly say that I have noticed God elsewhere too, in spaces that I would have overlooked before, like the weird ethereal space of a Zoom call and hanging out with our neighborhood group on Zoom, and the way that shared prayer feels over that space when you're with but not with your friends. I've also seen God in Andrea Lowen's Pascha delivery service, a necessary rainbow welcome on gray days. I've seen God in the way some of my friends from neighborhood group have organized a spreadsheet of grocery needs to take care of each other. And I've seen God at 7 p.m. every day when we get to wave at our neighbors across the street, neighbors we'd never actually really seen or noticed before. Maybe you still feel like you're waiting to recover your vision for a kingdom springing up in your present circumstances. You might still be on the road, crying out, "Lord, I just want to see." I actually think that's a very appropriate way to enter Holy Week, an okay way to follow Jesus into the unknown journey of his cross. As much as I've noticed signs of new life, I'm also right there with you, praying to see better, and in my longing for sight, praying to make room to be transformed. While we might feel like we're in the dark, a natural part of any unknown, Holy Week, which leads us to the mystery of the cross, does give us a big clue as to God's unexpected presence in darkness. The disciples didn't understand, but this week God was preparing a great surprising work, defeating death, sealing us in the life of his Son. Something the crowds in Jerusalem waving branches had to wait to see, had to wait to understand. And likewise, in the dark unknowns of our lives, much like deep within spring soil, God is at work, even if it's sometimes unseen. One more quote, and then the quickest poem. This is from Thomas Baker, who writes in a Common Wheel article that came out recently. "Spring has still arrived, even in the midst of fear and death. New life is there if we want it, even now. It's not always easy to see the light in the darkness, but somehow, if we ask, God will show us that the light is always coming." I really like the way a Japanese poet named Izumi Shikibu sees this coming light. Shikibu writes, "Although the wind blows terribly here, the moonlight also leaks between the roof planks of this ruined house. So, Lord, help us to see your light leaking into our lives. And as we journey to the table together this morning, whatever that looks like where you are, may we somehow see the first signs of your Easter light, even as we enter the unknown of Holy Week. May we receive your bread and wine with earnest longing to see you in our lives.